I can almost assure you tonight that you will enjoy this lesson, not because of the man preaching the lesson, but because of the words that come from God's book. And if you're here tonight to worship God in spirit and in truth, you will enjoy the message that comes from God's word when we talk about the love of man for man. And let me tell you, one of the things that I'm strongly convinced of is that I believe that people just don't love each other the way that they should. And I'm serious with you when I say that. I think that there's a lot of people out there that'll tell you they love you. And I think there's a lot of people out there that'll make some form of a good intention to show you a little bit of what they know in the way of how to love you. But I'm here to tell you that I believe with all of my heart that people in our society today and in our world are just not loving each other the way that they should. So I want to investigate tonight with you the lesson on man's love for his fellow man. Now, it would be an easy lesson for me to preach tonight about how that we ought to love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what He did for us. But tonight, we're going to talk about how to love each other and what the Bible teaches about it. I believe with all of my heart we could solve a lot of the problems that's going on in our society right now if we would love each other in the way that we should.
Amen.
So, introducing that to you, I want to carry you first of all to Romans 14:19. There's a lot of scripture tonight, and you're going to have to follow along with me. So Romans 14:19. Now, if we love one another, the Bible said, follow after the things which make for peace. Now, I want to stop right there for a moment. Have you ever noticed how it is that a lot of people, they're just not happy unless there's a problem? They're just not happy unless they're stirring something up. They're just not happy unless there's something out there going on that, oh, it doesn't make for peace. It causes turmoil. You know, and I'm honest with you. If we're really going to love each other in the way that we should, now I want you to listen to that verse. This is Bible. Follow after the things which make for peace. That means that we're going to have to live and do and say the things to one another that's going to make for peace. So that means if you're a little bit argumentative and you're talking to me, I don't need to be argumentative back, because that's not going to make for peace. It's also from the standpoint that if really and truly I want to love you the way that I ought to and you ought to love me the way you ought to, then we're going to have to agree on things. You know, when we disagree, it's not a very peaceful atmosphere, is it? You know, now we're not always going to agree on everything, but if we'll fall after the things which make for peace. But now I want to carry you a little further than that. Listen to what the Bible said here. Follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify one another. Anybody ever needed encouraging? Oh, I have. And I know that you do. And there's nothing in the world wrong with a little bit of encouragement. In fact, it will help you. It will strengthen you. And you know what that'll do for you? It'll make for peace. If somebody's got something good to say about you, and they say it to you, and they say it in a way that they really mean it, oh, I can tell you, that's an encouragement. That'll build you up.
Amen.
There are a lot of people that need a little bit of build-up. They don't need to be torn down. They need to be built up. So whenever you put those two things together, now listen to this. Follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify one another. So if you really and truly are going to love each other in the way that you should, and this, by the way, is in the home, this is in the church, this is on your job, this is out here in society. If you're going to use the tools that God has given us of how to love each other, you're going to follow after things which make for peace, and you're also going to do with those things that you can edify one another with. So the next time you want to carry on a good conversation that makes for peace, how about using a little encouragement in that? You know, I was strengthened and encouraged yesterday after I met Sister Henry. You know, and I'm honest with you. I just want to make this little point. I was strengthened and encouraged after I met her yesterday, because she is a bundle of joy. You know, that's what we talked about. She was talking to me about all sorts of different things, you know, and about her goats and her place and all this. And I thought, well, this lady knows how to cheer up a fella. She's telling him about things that really matter. You know, in all honesty, she didn't talk about all these old negative things that everybody wants to tell you about. She didn't talk about how much she hated this one or hated that one. She didn't talk about how bad this one was and how bad that one was, and this one had this problem and that one had that problem. No, that wasn't what she talked to me about. She told me about her goats and where she lived and how she got there. You know what? Those things make for peace. Now, I just wanted to use that as an example. Now, I want you to think about this. Leave off, if you will, the unpleasant and the things that aggravate circumstances beyond your control. I was listening to my mother tonight. I love my mother. She'd come with me, and she'd come all the way up here with me. And bless her heart, she's got lots of problems, you know, because she's got all them other folks that's tied to me with her, too. And she's talking about all these unpleasant things and all these things that aggravate the circumstances. But you know what I told her? Mama, there ain't a thing in the world we can do about it. You know, and that's what I want y'all to understand tonight. Romans 14:19 is so powerful. That's the scripture. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're going to love one another in the way that we should, we're going to follow after the things that make for peace. And not only that, we're going to use those things that we can encourage and edify and build up one another with. We're not going to tear each other down. It's awful good to see you, Johnny. I love you, man. I just saw him sitting over there. Think about this for a moment. Romans 12:15, point number two. We must, if we're going to love each other in the way that we should, guys, all of you, if we're going to love each other in the way that we should, we must not take advantage of those incapable. Now, let me explain that to you. If we're going to love each other in the way that we should, we must not take advantage of those who are incapable. The Bible said to rejoice with them that do rejoice. He said to weep with them that weep. But he said, be of the same mind one toward another. And he said, mind not high things, but condescend to man of low estate. Now you think about this for a moment. There are a lot of people out there that don't love each other in the way that they should. You know why I know that? They'll take advantage of somebody. They find somebody that they can a little bit outsmart. And I'm just going to tell it like it is now. I'm from Cherokee County down here in Alabama. And I'm going to tell you just like it is. There's people out there that run across people that they can outsmart a little bit. And you know what they'll do? They'll take right advantage of them. They'll take advantage of them. Now, that's not loving each other in the way that we should. That's not at all doing what we ought to when it comes down to loving one another. If there's somebody out there that may be, oh, they're probably a lot smarter than we are in lots of ways, but they may not know those things that we're using in the way of trickery to take advantage of them with. I know people in business that take advantage of other people that can't help themselves. And I'm going to tell you, God frowns on that. That's not the way in which we ought to love each other. We ought to love each other to the extent that if there's someone that needs help to understand something, and I don't know about y'all, but there's a lot of this technology that has passed me by. Has that happened to any of you? This technology out there, it has passed me by. Well now, in all honesty, there's some people that can take an old computer and some of the things that goes along with it, they can take advantage of me. Because I'm not the smartest fellow in the world with those things. But here's the deal. If we're going to love each other in the way that we should, I want you to listen to that verse. That verse there, this is gospel. He says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not the high things, but condescend, he said, to men of low estate. And what that simply means is don't you take advantage of anybody just because you can. Don't let that be the situation that you find yourself in. There's a lot of people out there that will do most anything for what? A dollar. There's a lot of people out there that will do most anything for a little bit of money. This morning, I want y'all to remember the family of a man named Sam Woody. When I went to Piedmont this morning, I was early, as I always am. Sam's the same age I am. He graduated with me. He's a bookkeeper there in Piedmont. Sam had taken advantage of several people in the course of his lifetime. About 2 weeks ago, he was being investigated. They found out that he had done some things that were not right. This morning, as I drove in, the lady ran out to my car, and she said, please come with me. I need your help. I said, what's the problem? She said, Sam shot himself. So I walked over there, and sure enough, Sam had shot and killed himself. He said, preacher, you got to go get his daughter. He said, she's 8.5 months pregnant, and she's up at the church up here. She's enrolling her child in kindergarten. You all know that's a hard thing, to go get a little girl that's about 25 years old and to tell her that her dad just shot and killed himself. Now, that's a hard thing. But let me tell you something. I'm talking to you about how we ought to love each other. Now, I've known Sam all of his life. Bless his heart, I pray for his family. I pray for his family today, and I'll pray for his family tonight and tomorrow and the rest of my life because they need it. But I'll tell you what, if we're going to be the people that we ought to be, we're going to love each other to the extent that we'll never take advantage of another person. We'll never let anything get in our minds and our hearts that will cause us to do something that's not right when it comes down to the treatment of our fellow man. It just don't need to happen if we're going to live our lives as a Christian and go to heaven when this life is over. It don't need to happen. Now, point number three. I'll tell you, Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. I got to run through this because I got a lot of scripture for you tonight. But Matthew 5, 41. I tell you what we ought to do too. Whenever it comes down to loving one another in the way that we ought to, we need to take care to help those who have a willingness to help themselves. Now, I want you to get what I just said to you. Take care to help them who have a willingness, y'all, to help themselves. We well know what the Bible teaches. If a man won't work, then neither shall he eat. And I'm of the opinion that a man ought to have to get out here and work to the understanding of knowing what he can and can't do in the way of providing for his family. But now here's what I want to tell you. If we're going to love each other in the way that we should, the Bible is going to teach us that we need to take care to help those who have a willingness to help themselves. Whosoever shall compel thee, he said, to go a mile. Now listen to this. Go with them twain. And verse 42 said, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, he said, turn not thou away. Now we're only talking about those who have a willingness to help themselves. Did you know that sometimes, I don't know if you might have noticed this or not, some people get in a situation not because they made a bad choice and put themselves there, but because of the circumstances that surround them. Now, they're more than willing to help themselves, and they're doing everything humanly possible to help themselves, but you know what? Bad times come to them. And whenever it comes to that, we ought to love each other enough that we take care to try to help someone that has a willingness to help themselves. You know, the benevolent program, I have preached about that for many, many years. The benevolence of the church is something that I want to tell you is lacking in a lot of places. Now, I will tell you that because I know. I have been to some of the larger congregations of the Lord's church in lots of places to talk to them about the help of somebody who had a willingness to help themselves but fell on bad times. And you know what they would tell me? Our budget will not allow us to do that. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how that's going to work with the Lord when you get up there in judgment. If that budget has strained to the extent that all of what it is that you're doing, it doesn't include that of benevolence to help your fellow man. I don't know how that's going to work when you get before the Lord. I think it's going to be that we have to have a willingness to love each other enough that if you have a need, and if I've got an extra $5 and you're willing to help yourselves, what in the world is wrong with my $5 coming your way if I've got another one? Nothing in the world wrong with that. Let me tell you, that's where a lot of people have missed the boat on understanding benevolence. We're talking about people who have a willingness to help themselves. We're not talking about people out here that's deadbeats and won't work. And I'm just sharing with you exactly what an Alabama boy's been taught all his life. If you don't work, you don't have much of a deserving when it comes down to people helping you. But if you're willing to get out there and work and do whatever it takes to make it happen and something bad happens to you, there's nothing in the world wrong with helping an individual like that. In fact, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ that teaches us that we ought to do that.
Amen.
So if we're going to love each other the way that we ought to, our point number three is going to stand out very strong to help those who have a willingness to help themselves. Now our point number four, I will tell you, in 1 John 5 and verse 2, the Bible, when we can know how to love one another, there's a lot of people don't really know how to love one another, but we can know how to love one another. Now let me tell you how I know that, because if you studied the Bible, for all these many years I have studied the Bible to understand that we can know how to love each other. And the reason is, by this we know that we love the children of God, he said. By this we know that we love the children of God, first of all, when we love God. When we love God. And then he says, and keep his commandments. Now there it is in a nutshell. That tells me that I can know how to love you, and I can know how to teach you how to love one another in the way that you ought to. Because we can learn to love one another in the way that we ought to if, first of all, we love God. He has to be first and foremost in our lives. Now let me tell you something. People that love God have a lot more love in them than those folks that don't have a regard for God.
Amen.
You ever noticed that? Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of those jacklegs were running our government right now had a love for God? Boy, we'd be prospering beyond measure if they had a love for God. We'd love each other more fervently if truly we loved God first and we had God first and foremost in our lives. Now, the other part of that old verse of Scripture said, I can know how to love you and you can know how to love one another if truly we love God. And then he says, and keep his commandments. If we just do what God said. There's not a way in the world that there's anything wrong with doing what God said. Because if we do what God said, we can accomplish any and everything that we want to do. And how do I know that? For he said, with God all things are what? Possible. Possible. With God all things are possible. Without God, I just don't see a way to get there. In fact, I don't know how it is that I'm ever going to learn how to love my fellow man if I don't love God first. You know, that's the inspiration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is to love one another, but love God first and keep his commandments. You won't have a problem with that. You'll learn to love one another then. You'll understand it better. So what have we learned so far? So far, we have learned about following after things that make for peace, learning how to encourage one another. We have learned how not to take advantage of someone if truly they're men of low estate. We've also learned how to have a willingness to help people that have a willingness to help them on their own selves. Now, we can also know that there's something else I want to share with you in 1 John 3, verse 14. Now, in this passage, we cannot reach true life form unless we love one another. We'll never ever understand what the good life is unless we learn how to love one another. I don't know, but I'm going to make an illustration for you right here. What if it were to be that you were a person that didn't have any love in your heart at all for your fellow man? I can tell you, you would be an alienated individual. You would be by yourself. There would be no one that would have much regard for you. No one would want to communicate or have much to do with you at all because there's no love there. If there's a person out there that has no love in their heart, that person has no compassion. Because compassion goes hand in hand with love. And if that person has no compassion, that person is ultimately a person who doesn't have any attitude of care. They're that person really and truly, when you hear people say, I don't care, they really don't, because they don't have any love in their heart. I don't like that when people say, I don't care. I can remember as a little boy when I would say something about I don't care, and Grandpa would say, boy, you better get to caring and get to caring quick. I knew exactly what he meant by that. Don't say those words, you don't care. In fact, whenever you look back, I don't think you could muster up whenever it was that Jesus said, I don't care. Do you know how much he cared? He cared enough to die for you on the cross. And it was the fact of matter that man had all the sin. Jesus didn't have none. He was in all points tempted like as we were, and the Scripture said, yet without sin. So he didn't have anything in the world to worry about when it comes to sin. Man had it all. But did he care? Oh, he died a horrible, cruel death on the cross because he cared. And you see, my point tonight is to try to teach you how it is that we ought to care one for another. We ought to love each other, and we ought to do so with zeal. We ought to be excited about it. I told Mama when we come up here, I said, listen, we're going to have a good crowd tonight. I promise you. And we do. We got a whole middle building full. It's a good crowd. And I love every one of you for coming to hear this gospel preached tonight, because this is how it is that we learn to love each other and support each other and help each other and understand each other more and go to heaven together when this life is over. And that's our ultimate goal. We cannot reach true life form unless we love one another. We know that we have passed, he said, from death unto life. Now listen to this. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Did you ever think about that? Those people who have no love they're already dead. Now, I'm not talking about in the cemetery buried. I'm talking about people that are walking around the living dead because they have no love in their heart. There are a lot of people out there that's dead. They have no love in their heart. I can assure you that someone that would walk into a convenience store and rob an individual trying to make a living for their family and shoot that person dead, they have no love in their heart. That person is dead and separated from God because of sin. And that person's ultimate destination will be outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, pain and sorrow and agony. And people will say, oh, they got just exactly what they deserve. No, I think we ought to love each other to the extent that that never happens to us. When we go down to our final destiny, wherever we find ourselves at the end of the way, let it be said that that person was filled with love in their heart. They had an extraordinary amount of love in their heart for their fellow man. I knew an individual not too long ago that passed from this life, a great individual. And let me tell you what it was that was so great about him. I don't guess I've ever known a human being in this world that was loved much anymore by anybody that knew Brother Ronnie Johnson. Ronnie Johnson was a man who had a heart as big as this pulpit. And a lot of times people did never understand what he did for his fellow man. I've been with him to drag an old trailer out of the woods to carry somewhere to somebody who didn't have a place to live, and nobody ever knew he ever did that. A number of times he had passed out a $20 or a $50 or a $100 bill to a person who he knew really and truly needed it. This man had so much love in his heart the day that they called and told me he died. I knew then there was a great amount of love that left this old world. If you ever knew this man, you knew a man that had a tremendous amount of love in his heart. That's the kind of fellow he was. And for those that knew him best, all they could say was, I never knew anybody that didn't love this man, and I never knew anybody he didn't love. He had something good to say about anybody and everybody he ever met. He could meet the most vilest, the crookedest, in fact, the most perverse. But you know what he'd do? He'd say, man, they got a soul. Don't you just love them? That was just his attitude. Ronnie Johnson was that kind of a fella. Well, let me tell you, my little children, in verse 18 of 1 John chapter 3, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. He said, but in deed and in truth. Do you know that our love needs to be in action? We need to share and show each other. Now, you know, I've had people tell me all of my life, they said, you know, you're just too huggy. Let me tell you, I have no problem with that. I have no problem with it. When I hug you, it's because I love you and I appreciate you. Nothing more, nothing less. I hug old Wayne just as good as I could hug any one of you ladies because I love them. I love every one of you. There's nothing in the world wrong with that. In fact, I learned that from a man that had a great amount of love in his heart. Grandpa Murphy was a man. When you walked up to him, if you was a man or a woman, he'd reach his arms out and hug your neck because he loved you. He really did. And whenever you think about that, he said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let it be truth and let it be indeed. Let it be an acting kind of a love. Love in action. Our point number five. Number six, rather. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. I want to tell you, be all of one mind. Be all of one mind. Well, you know, we hear that sermon preached over and over again, how it is that we all ought to be of one mind. We all ought to preach the same things, to do the same things, to have the same goals. That's true. But whenever I share this with you, of being all of one mind, I want to tell you something else that it has to do with. He said, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Now I want to stop right there and I want to meddle just a little bit with things that you might or might not know about. But did you know that we actually have brethren that are members of the Lord's church in different places, some in the same community? They will not even as much as speak to one another. They will not talk to one another. They will not communicate one with the other. These are brethren. Now, some people are very quick to judge. And you know, that's one of the things I have never, ever understood. How it is that I could be that person that was so quick to judge another and make a decision of whether or not I liked that individual when I just met him. It was Will Rogers, a notable man that was one of my heroes, like that of Roy Rogers. And Will said, you know, I just don't like that man, so it is that I must get to know him better so that I can learn to like him. You see, he really and truly hit the nail on the head when it come down to understanding. Now, I know that that wasn't a biblical phrase, but I will tell you a biblical phrase. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. He said, love as brethren. And yet there are some people who can't shake their brother's hand. They can't talk to their brother. You know, there's a man down in our neighborhood. He's what we refer to as a liberal. I don't like liberalism in the church. You know, I'm the old conservative. I was taught and I've learned nothing more, nothing less than what the Bible has written within it. I don't know much about the other part, but I know about what the gospel says to me and says to you. I was taught that from a small boy. But this man that I'm speaking of, he was a notable minister in the Lord's church for many, many years. He became so liberal-minded that he has ideas that there are Christians in all religious organizations wherever they are. That's as far from what the Bible teaches as anything I know. That's very, very far. That's an error of what the Bible teaches. But for some reason or another, there are a great many of our brethren who have no desire to talk to this man anymore. They have no desire to shake his hand nor to communicate with him at all. I communicate with him on a regular basis, and I tell him of the error that he stands in jeopardy of losing his soul over. And I constantly do that. And he said to me just the other day, he said, you know, Gary, I love you. He said, you're the only brother I got left that'll tell me what I'm doing wrong. He said, can you ever find anything I'm doing right? I said, yeah. I said, there's a few things, but there's a lot of you doing wrong. And I continued on, and he said, you know, keep on keeping on. Maybe someday I'll change my mind, but right now I still think that. You see, if we would just but make an effort, you never know when we might make an inroad with someone to teach them about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and to convert them from the error of their way. You never know when that might happen. There's a man there in the Lord's church where I preach at that was once a Baptist deacon, and I don't mind to say the word Baptist. I have a lot of Baptist friends and I love them too, but they are in error whenever they teach things that are not true. And this man is in the congregation, once a Baptist deacon. I converted that man, having talked to him for many, many years about the once saved, always saved situation that he thought was right. It's as far from what the Bible teaches as you could find anything. Now people say, well now Gary, I've never heard you get up and say those things before in an open forum. But I'm going to tell you, as I grow older, I recognize the fact that I must get up and tell you that we need to love each other to the extent that we don't cut off the communication with our fellow man, lest we find ourselves standing in judgment, never having tried to teach that individual the error of their way and try to convert them. I think that's the wrong thing to do. For Jesus came into this world to seek and to save what? The lost. Those that were lost. In fact, whenever you read and study, you'll find there that he said those that or well, they have no need of a physician. It's those that were sick, really and truly, that he needed to be about. Amen. And whenever you think about that, you must not ever sever your line of communication. Now, I would tell you first and foremost, never bid anyone Godspeed that's teaching that of the error of the way. Always point that out. Make sure that you tell them the truth of the matter and share with them what the gospel says on that matter. But never cut your line of communication from them. If we're going to love each other in the way that we should. Now, I'm talking about love of man for man. Someone said, now, I thought you were talking... No, I'm talking about the love of man for man, not the love of the brethren for the brethren. We know we're supposed to do that. We know we're supposed to love each other with a pure heart fervently. That's what the Bible teaches when it comes to the brethren. But what about the love of man for man? there's some people out there I'm going to have to love. And it's hard to do. You know, did you ever in a million years think about the fact that the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to love our enemies? Did you ever think about that? To do good them to despitefully use you? You know, to overcome evil with what? Good. You know, that's the teachings of the Bible. Now, I had those things taught to me from Grandpa Murphy when I was just a child. And he said, son, there are going to be some people out there going to be awful hard to love. They're going to be your enemy, but you're going to have to learn to love them. Not their ways, not their way of life, but their soul is going to have to be in consideration. If we have a love of man for man, the way that the Bible teaches, I'm going to keep that line of communication open. And so the Bible said, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another. 1 Peter 3:8, he said, love is, brethren, be pitiful. That's consideration. Be courteous. Now think about this. Consideration goes a long way. It goes a long way. If someone thinks you have really and truly a care in your heart for them, they'll go pretty much out of their way to make it accommodating for you, either in communication, friendship, or as a neighbor. Whenever you think about how it is that we ought to treat one another, this is serious business. This is the gospel. And a lot of people have forgotten what the Bible teaches about the love of man for his fellow man. They forgot that. And I think we could do a better job of growing our congregations if we would truly get out here with love in our heart and teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we can't do it with love in our heart, there's no way in the world we'll ever be able to make any inroad to teach anybody about the gospel. Right. We're going to have the love in our heart to be able to do it.
Amen.
Now, you know, when you think about this, James 2 and verse 8, I got to get going here. James 2 and 8, the Bible talks about a law referred to as the royal law. You know what that royal law, that word royal elevates? It puts it up there just a little bit more. The royal law. We all know what the royalty means when it comes down to certain people, don't we? Well, they're most identified. I mean, people understand about the royal family of England, you know. They know about the queen and the king and all. Oh, that's the royalty. Well, now let's go back and let's apply this. The royal law, the elevating of a certain law that God made. He said, this is the royal law. This is something you pay close attention to. Now he said, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, then you do well. Well now, I could tell you all day long how that you ought to love your neighbor. But if you love yourself and you love your neighbor as you do yourself, he said, you do well. Now let's consider how it is that we love ourselves. If we find ourselves cold and we're uncomfortable with that, what do? We seek out some warmth, right? And we do whatever it takes to make ourselves warm. If we find ourselves hungry and really and truly it's uncomfortable, what do? We seek out something to eat. And we love ourselves enough to nourish ourselves and to give ourselves something to eat. If we look at ourselves and we have not the proper clothing, what do? We do everything humanly possible, sometimes a little overboard, but we go out and we find whatever it takes to clothe ourselves with. Not many of us are wearing rags. We're wearing good clothes. Well, you know, we must love ourselves enough then that we're not going to let ourselves be cold and hot and hungry and naked. Oh, we're not going to let any of that stuff happen to us, are we? So if we're really going to love our neighbor as ourselves, this is what's going to happen. If we find somebody naked, we're going to help clothe them. If we find somebody hungry, we're going to help feed them. If we find somebody that's cold, we're going to help get them some warmth. If we find that they're hot, we're going to find a cool place for them. Really, if we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves, we're going to do whatever it takes, just like it would for us if we were in that predicament. So this is plain. This is the only way I know how to preach. Just plain old, simple old, common country boy gospel. If you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, you're going to have to learn what it means. You're going to do whatever it takes to show the love for your fellow man. That's why he said, with food and shelter and clothing, let us therewith be content. And so many people are worried to death. Oh, but there's so many people out there that don't have food, shelter, and clothing. And see, this love that I'm talking to you about of our fellow man is teaching me so much, because he said, this is the royal law. This is the one I elevate for you. This is the one I'm teaching you. You love your neighbor as yourself, then you do well. Romans 13:8. He said, owe no man anything. Owe no man anything. I wish that was the case with a lot of us, you know. Occasionally we do owe a man, don't we? But here's the deal. He said, owe no man anything but to love one another. But to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law of God. I've thought about that and thought about that and thought about that. Did you know that if we love one another, we pretty much talk about anything there is to talk about? We can go right down to the nitty-gritty and we can talk about anything we need to talk about if we love one another. You know, if we were to owe each other money, then we could talk about why it is that we might not be able to pay one another, because we love each other and because we can sit down and talk about it. We can get beyond that because we love each other. Love can overshadow and overtake a lot of those old reservations that people have about one another. If really we love each other in the way that we should, we can get around a lot of this stuff because we can sit down and talk to each other. And you know, we can just pour our heart out. We can just open up with our secrets. We can open up and we can talk about things that really and truly have frustrated and hurt and worried and really mattered. We can talk about those things because why? Because we love each other. The Bible is so plain on this. He said, love worketh no ill. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That's verse 10 of Romans 13. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, he said, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's what God intended. He intended for us all on this earth to love each other. He didn't intend for us to war against one another. Oh, I had a denominational man the other day tell me about the fact that we're at the end of our rope. Said, you know all that stuff going on over yonder, Gary? Said, this is all biblical. I said, man, what Bible are you reading? He said, it's all biblical. He said, this is prophecy. I said, get your book. Let's mean you sit down and read that. I've not seen that. I've only read that Bible 40 or 50 times in my lifetime. I've not seen that. Show it to me, man. I'm missing that. He said, I didn't know it was going to excite you that much. I said, get your book, man. I want to know. I want to see it. I said, I didn't know that. I hadn't seen him yet. He's been gone a couple of weeks. He won't be back because it's not written there. It's not in the book. It's a foul understanding. It's error of the way. He said, oh, we're at the end of time here. He said, you know, this is a look at what's going on. He said, the Antichrist. I said, man, I tell you, I said, I've just missed this somehow or another. Get your book, bring it, man. Let's look at this thing. I want to know. My secretary said, you scared that man to death. I said, well, you know, if it's there, I missed it somehow or another. I said, I've only read from Genesis to Revelation. Maybe there's something else there. Maybe there's another book there that's hid somewhere. Maybe there's some more words there. I've only read those 39 in the old, 27 in the new. I've only read 66 books. But you see, my problem is, I still love the man. And I want him to understand that it's not there. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love, he said, is the fulfilling of the law. Galatians 5:26, this is a strong verse of Scripture. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Do you know that that's true? Don't let us be that of desirous of vainglory. If you're going to do something good for somebody, do it. Keep your mouth shut and go right on about your business. Don't worry about it. Don't run down the street and tell everybody you met that you did something good for somebody. That's vainglory. That's something you don't need in your life. Who knows if whether or not you've done something good for somebody? You and who else? The Lord. For He knoweth all things. And so it's important for us to understand, if we're going to be this person that loves one another, we can do something good for one another and never have to worry about it. Because the Lord knows it and you know it. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another. You know, if we love each other, I'm not going to pick at you to the extent that I make you mad at me. You know, I'm not going to preach the gospel in such an aggravated tone and such a manner that I make you upset and mad at me. I might offend you with what the Bible said if it doesn't fit your life just exactly right, but it won't be without a smile on my face and love in my heart for you, because that's what the Bible teaches. You know, I can't be your enemy because I tell you the truth. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to be that person that you don't have a problem loving, and I'm going to love you the same way. Because I want to go to heaven when this life is over. And if truly I'm able to walk the streets of gold according to the Scripture, I want to walk it with you. And I hope you want to walk it with me. You see, the Bible's going to teach us envying one another is not where it's at. Man, if you're doing good, I'm proud for you. I'm tickled to death for you. In fact, I want to love you because you are doing good. You know, and that's so important. If you find yourself in a situation where you're aggravated a little bit because someone's doing good, that's that old thing that's surfacing called envy. And it'll keep you out of heaven. In fact, the old proverb said it's crueler than the grave. We don't want that. If somebody's doing good, we want them to do good. We want them to do better. You know, if somebody's done real well in their life, boy, that's good. The Lord's blessed them. But I'll tell you something else. There's not a person on the face of this earth that the Lord has not blessed at some time or another in their life. And I'll tell you why. If they've got life, the Lord has given it to them. So He's blessed them. He's blessed them. They may not have done well with it. They may have just ruined it. They may have thrown it away. But you know what? The Lord blessed them with it. They just didn't use it right. Now, let me tell you, last and final tonight, what we're talking about here. This one here will get you down to the end, and then I'm going to let you all out here in just a second. But in 1 Corinthians 16:14, our direction is clear. Our direction is clear. Let all your things be done with charity. The word charity is love. Let all things be done with love. 1 Corinthians 13:11 said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There are a lot of people out there that have never understood. If you get upset with somebody, a lot of times it's childish to be that way. You know, if you're a grown person, if you're an adult, and you get upset with somebody over something that really don't matter, it's a childish thing. And the Bible said, you know, when I grew up and become a man, I need to put away childish things. Have you ever known arguments to occur over something that really didn't matter? Anybody ever know that? You know, some people get aggravated over, you know, I thought the world was coming to an end when we were building our new building. And we give the ladies an opportunity to pick what color was going on in the inside of the church. I thought the world was going to come to an end. I didn't know there was so many colors. We didn't even have it on the chart. No two of them agreed. And I thought, how in the world? And then the old man there, and I kind of got a kick out of this. He's an old man, you know, and he was sitting there and he said, you ever wonder why it is that the Lord said, let the woman be in subjection to the man? He was for real. But you know, I loved every one of them ladies. You know what they finally decided on? We'll just paint it a neutral color that we all like and we'll get along. And you know they did. But here's the deal. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, charity never faileth. Love will never fail. Love is the strongest emotion of all that we know about. An issue of life that comes from the heart. Love is one of the issues of the life that comes from the heart. Now listen to what he said. One that must be managed properly, directed, if you will, and applied as God has commanded it. Proverbs 4:23, as we conclude tonight, was going to tell us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's where that love's got to be. Got to be in that old heart. It's got to be filled with it. And you got to deal with it. When it comes down to the love of mankind, we're going to have to find a way to do it. You know, I was raised up, and I'm sorry for the fact we don't have some of our black people here tonight. They always come to hear me when I'm up here, and I appreciate that so much. But I was raised up in an environment when I was a small boy, when I was a little bit prejudiced. I didn't understand black people. But you know, as I grew up, I understood a little bit more of why it is that we have to look on the inside rather than the outside. I understood a little bit more of how it is that I need to learn to love my fellow man regardless of what color he is. I learned to love some old black people down there that wouldn't mean or smart or ugly to me. They're the kindest, humblest old people I ever met. They're some of the best people I was ever around. I scared to death of them, but once I learned a little bit about them, I learned to love them. You know why? Because they were members of the Lord's church. They were members of the Lord's church. And I could love them for the fact that we had the same goal. Didn't matter to me if they were black or white or red or green. The Lord put them here. And you know, I don't like our president, but it's not because of the color of his skin. I have no problem with the color of his skin. I just don't like nothing he does. Because he's an ungodly man. That's the reason I don't like him. He's an ungodly man. The idea that I'm going to tell you tonight as we close out is that we're going to have to learn to love our fellow man in a way that we can be that person that other people don't have a problem loving. There are some people that make themselves so hard to love, they can't manage it. But I tell you, if you'll make yourself that person that's easy to love by loving your fellow man, it'll be a much better life. Be a much better life. Now I realize this is not a sermon directed in a way to try to convert someone. But it's a sermon to try to touch your heart and to try to melt you into a situation that if you haven't felt like the love flowed the way that it should in your life, then there's a way to make that love more prosperous in your life. A Christian is going to have to love his fellow man. He's going to learn how to do it. He's going to understand it. He's going to follow the rule. And if you're not a Christian, I want to share with you that you need to be a Christian. That's how you start out learning to love the way you should. To hear the gospel preached, establish your faith, to believe Jesus is the Son of the living God, to repent of your sins, to confess Him with your mouth, to be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins, raised to walk in newness of life. That's the plan of salvation. It's a simple and easy thing. That's the way to start learning how to love our fellow man. Start learning how to love God first, and doing what God said first.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you're subject to the invitation, either never having been baptized or needing to respond from the standpoint of repenting of your sins and allowing the precious blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you as prayer is being made with you and for you, won't you come right now while together we stand and sing.
Who at the door is